In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority, amen. Their whole plan was to make us good Babylonians. That was it. When they hauled so many of us off into Babylon, they didn't really want to destroy us. They wanted to incorporate us, assimilate us into their national aspirations. That we would become good Babylonians that would participate in spreading the good news of Babylon's reign all throughout the Middle East. So they chose some of us that they thought were young and strapping to lead this effort. And they were going to change our hearts and our minds through a process. 3-year process, to be exact. They were going to educate us. They were going to feed us differently with their food. In fact, they were even going to change our name so that we would forget our identity. We had been Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, but they renamed us Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The old identity we were leaving behind. We were going to be good Babylonians. But the four of us resisted. We believed that we served only one kingdom, the kingdom of God. We believed that we could not become citizens of Babylon. We were citizens of God's kingdom. So we resisted the food. We resisted the education. We stood out. And Nebuchadnezzar was willing to put up with this for a while. He was willing to continue to promote us up the ranks for our feistiness. He liked it. He was convinced, I believe, that if he gave us wealth and power and just more and more of it, eventually we would be seduced. Eventually the wealth and power would get to us and we would say, "You're right, Nebuchadnezzar. The dream of Babylon is a beautiful one." And that we would buy in with our whole being, and then we would lead the rest of our people to become good Babylonians. We got promoted the biggest time after Daniel had interpreted the dream. The dream, ironically, that came from Nebuchadnezzar, the dream that gave us the strength to stand firm. If you remember, the dream that Daniel interpreted, that Nebuchadnezzar had, was the dream of a great statue. This statue was composed of many different metals and materials, and then that statue was hit with an uncut stone right on the feet, and it was dust. Daniel interpreted that this dream meant all of human civilization that the statue represented, all the different empires like Babylon that was the head of this statue, that God's kingdom was coming to dash the feet of human civilization and shatter it to dust. This dream assured us God would have the victory. And so as Nebuchadnezzar continued to push us to conform to the Babylonian way, we resisted, remembering the dream. The empires, all of human civilization is nothing but dust. Dust in the wind. If we stand firm, the Lord will be with us. We will win the victory. And so Nebuchadnezzar promoted all of us. Again, pushing us higher up the ranks, convinced that more wealth, more money, more power would seduce us. It all came to a head when Nebuchadnezzar called the whole nation together to worship the great statue that he had built. Nebuchadnezzar gathered the whole nation there in the yard to get before his statue, that we would, at the sound of the music, pledge our allegiance to the Babylonian Empire. That we would bow down to this statue that represented the greatness, the beauty, the strength of Babylon throughout all the world. Everyone was instructed, bow down, pledge your allegiance to the Babylonian Empire, or else. you will be thrown into a fiery furnace to be destroyed. We knew what we had to do. And so we were gathered there for the whole nation to see. And when the music played, everybody bowed down to their faces to pledge their allegiance to the Babylonian Empire and all of its greatness. Daniel was gone that day on a trip, but the three of us, we stood there. And we stuck out like a sore thumb. Imagine the entire nation bowing down before the great statue, pledging its allegiance to the Babylonian Empire, and here the three of us stand, refusing to bow down. This pushed Nebuchadnezzar over the edge. He had been willing to kind of play along and try to seduce us into becoming good Babylonians, but this he could not stand. This blatant disobedience and disregard for his authority and for his message. He had to make an example of us. He begged us to bow down. We refused. Again. And so he said, heat the fiery furnace, not to the level that it was before, 7 times hotter. We will destroy these men and make an example of them. I remember it. The men who were stoking that furnace, 7 times hotter, a few of them died themselves because the heat was so intense. And so they tied us up and they threw us into the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar had spoken to us right before that. He had challenged us, saying, who do you think can save you from my power? There is no God, he told us, that could save you from my power. And we said to Nebuchadnezzar, our last words, our God, Nebuchadnezzar, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he can save us if he chooses. We don't know if he will choose to save us, but he can. And even if he lets us burn in your furnace, Nebuchadnezzar, know this, we will never, ever serve your gods. We will never bow down and pledge our allegiance to the Babylonian Empire. We serve the Creator alone in his kingdom. Do with us what you will. And that's when he threw us into the fire. We expected to die. We thought it was over. I mean, we knew that God could save us, but God oftentimes lets his faithful people die. We had seen it many times. But then, there we were, in the midst of the fire. Our clothes weren't burning. The heat, we felt nothing. We were comfortable. Our bindings fell off of us, and we were free, and we just started walking around. It was crazy. It was insane. There we were in the midst of a fire we had just seen kill other men who were stoking the fire, and we were walking around in the middle of the fire. And then we saw him, the angel of the Lord, the presence of God himself hanging out with us in the fire. Our faith didn't prove to be in vain. God was with us. And he was miraculously preserving our lives. He honored our faithfulness to him. He honored that we refused to pledge allegiance to the Babylonian Empire. And that we stood firm for what he had taught us through his word. Nebuchadnezzar's face was a sight to behold. He pulled us out of the fire. He praised our God. I couldn't believe what he said. And then he promoted us again, hoping one day we would give in. We are also strangers in a foreign land. Like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, we are strangers, wanderers in a foreign land. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. That is our identity. And the memory of these four men and their faithfulness to God should inspire us. Inspire us to ask ourselves difficult questions about how we are living in this foreign land that we reside in. Are we giving in to the pressures to become good Americans? Just walking in line with everything that America wants us to be? Or are we willing, like Daniel, like Hananiah, like Mishael, like Azariah, to stick out like a sore thumb? That yes, we will go along with our nation when they ask harmless things of us. But if America tries to turn us into anything other than citizens of the kingdom of God first and foremost, will we stand firm? Will we stand when everyone else bows? Or maybe might we kneel when everyone else stands? Are we willing to take a stand? Are we willing to put our lives on the chopping block for remaining faithful to God's kingdom? It's not an easy task that we've been given. The wealth, the power, the promises of America are just as seductive as the promises of Babylon millennia ago. We are promised that if we give in, we will be blessed. But like the four men in the prophet Daniel's story, we're being called to something higher. To stand firm. Not to be defiant for defiance's sake, not to cause trouble, not to start a revolution, but simply to say, we serve God alone. And when the pressures are put on us, that we would use the same words that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah used, that we would say to our nation, we will not ever serve your gods. We will not bow down to the greed, the hatred, the violence that drives you. We serve the God of love, the God of Jesus. And yes, you tell us that your armies are the only way we'll be safe and protected. But no, O nation, we know better. Your armies are impotent. The Creator is the true power in the world. And he may not save us from death, but we know that he can. And so therefore, we will stand firm. We have seen Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. We have seen Jesus of Nazareth stand firm for God's kingdom, refusing to bow down. And we trust that God will raise the dead. We trust that he will be with his people in their faithfulness. So, O nation, we will never serve your gods. We will never bow down to your ways. We have a different king, and he holds all the power, and we trust that he will save us. Amen.